Ben Gujan.
And I'm Dawn Wolford Mantello.
With Quad City Arts. And welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today we are talking art with mixed media master Dean Kugler, sculptor, artist, and owner of Redbox Design, whose work is currently on exhibit at the Quad Cities International Airport from now until October 28th. Dean, welcome to Talking Art.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you here. So I am joined today with a co-host, Dawn Wolford Mantello, who is the Quad City Arts Visual Arts Director. And we have a brand new exhibit coming in at the Quad Cities International Airport where Dean will be featured. Dawn, can you tell us a little more about that exhibit?
Sure. With every exhibit, we have usually two-dimensional artists and a three-dimensional artist. So Dean is filling in the 3D part. This will be a figurative exhibit with figurative paintings by Nadine Mitchell and Holly Buchholz. And then Dean's work is also figurative. So it's going to be a great show as far as variety, but also focused on the figure.
Yeah. And what sort of pieces are you going to have out at the airport, Dean?
I'm just doing bust studies.
Excellent. And a lot of your work does center around the human form.
All of it.
All of it. It's, yes. It's beautiful. I have to say, your work is absolutely gorgeous, and I love what you do with the human form, the way you blend kind of classical work with your own kind of modern twist on it. What inspires that for you?
Well, the human figure itself is the only thing I'm really interested in exploring. But then what I try to do is, after dealing with the classical poses or just your classical bust studies or anything like that, then I'm usually trying to think about surfaces and how I can get different and varied surfaces afterwards. So I might do multiple castings of a single piece and just try lots of different things.
Sure. And I noticed looking at your work, like you said, you do use a lot of different materials as far as working with bronze or like the gold leaf you did on a lot of stuff. What kind of inspires you to make those choices?
I primarily will work in casted materials that are resin because I can do those in studio. They allow me a more affordable piece. Like if I'm going to sell it in a gallery or whatever, it's more affordable and approachable than bronze. But in terms of, and I just keep trying different resins and seeing which ones I like. But in terms of preferences, I don't have one. And in terms of reasons for it, I just see something new, a material, you know, online or, you know, in a magazine, and I want to try it.
Yeah. And with these busts that you're doing for this, is there a theme to these busts? Like, is there anyone specifically that you were working with?
The male figure is a gentleman, Jason Black is his name. He was a professional fighter and a long-term friend of mine. Locally, which is the direction I'm going with my work. And the female piece was just a study out of my brain called Muse.
And you talk about Jason and his history with MMA fighting, and you also have experience in that, right?
Mm-hmm. I have a background in that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exciting. And you have done with those fighters, both the sculptural work and 2D work.
Correct.
Do you mostly focus on painting, drawing?
I'm a sculptor that does other things.
What do you find the differences between 2D, 3D for you as an artist?
Passion and intimidation. So I'm very passionate. I feel like I can walk up to a ball of clay and get anything I want as a result. I look at a canvas and I argue with myself and struggle and fuss. And it's funny, for all my friends are all painters. And a lot of the, you know, to the layperson, it would seem like I know how to paint. But to myself and to guys that are painters, it's probably pretty obvious that I'm lacking in certain skills and techniques. But it requires a lot of time to develop those. And I'm just not that interested in the 2D work. So I don't spend the time to develop like I do in my 3D work.
You were just talking about working with 2D art versus 3D art. And it's something that, to me as a non-artist, I see sculptures and I have no idea where a sculptor starts from, like from a hunk of raw material. Could you talk about your process?
Well, at first, a lot of my work, my 3D work actually comes from 2D images more often than not. I can just see something in a magazine or I can see something online and I'm like, oh, I would want to make that. And I have been very blessed to have an ability to handle the figure without much cue. You know, I don't need too many cues to know what the musculature looks like or anything else. And I was a kinesiology major in college. And so, I've done sports that involve the human form forever, you know, and as far as women go, it's, you know, dancers. I like ballet. I like different things like that, you know? So, I have a lot of exposure to the form, but usually it's just a pose or a movement or a tilting of the head or anything like that once it grabs me. As far as the fighters go, I'm starting to focus on, I really like the storied countenance. And then once I capture that in my brain, I can translate it to clay. And then from that clay, I usually don't work in the finished product. I usually work in clay and then I pull molds and cast, but I do have some processes for working in a finished product, you know, where you're doing a built piece versus a casted piece.
Sure. Sure. It's fascinating to me. One thing you said that really struck me was, you know, working with those classical forms and looking at your pieces, like you see that classical basis, but then you have this modern twist to it, for lack of a better word, or, you know, some of like the extensions off the hands of some of those dancers, or, and I know there was one figure with kind of some tattered wings on it.
Mm-hmm.
What inspires those modern choices, I guess?
Well, I love the classical, I like the classical study with a contemporary finish or take on it. You know, I think that there's timelessness to the classical aspect of dealing with the figure. Within the arts, the figure has always been held in high regard, but, you know, cause it's fairly difficult to do. I feel comfortable with that now. I don't find the level of difficulty I may have when I was younger. So now, for the way for me to push the envelope is to try different things. And sometimes I mess things up. And I've got some good friends that I stay in communication with, some local artists, and I'll call them or I'll text them all and be like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this to this piece, you know? And one of my buddies, Steve's always like, what if you did it off to the side and see if it works? And I'm like, dah. I made bad decisions. I'm not going to live forever. I'm like, let's just do it right now, you know? And I do it. And I'm like, ooh, that didn't work. I throw it in the dumpster because, you know, I'm like, well, there went 6 months. But when it works. And I like it and it's okay. And when it doesn't, then it was a study, you know? And I'll either throw it in the pile or, you know, or throw it away or whatever, you know, revisit it later, you know?
Well, that's what I love about art is sometimes it's in that messiness and those mistakes that we find the next thing.
Yep. You know? That's a lot of the artists that I have a lot of respect for years ago I had someone tell me not to be precious about the work, as I was talking to Dawn about, is that, and so I definitely have taken that to an nth degree probably, unfortunately sometimes, but sometimes it works out.
Yeah, there's a theater director who I like a lot, Anne Bogart, who talks about killing your babies. Like when you create those bits or those moments in a show that are your favorites, mm-hmm. get rid of them.
Yep.
Because you are too precious and too attached to them.
Yes. They start to get replicated and they start to be dead.
Yeah.
You know, and so, no, I understand that. And a lot of times, any of my work that hasn't sold, I'm a big believer that it's not done until it sells. Once it sells, I walk away from it and I forget about it, you know. But prior to that, if it's sitting around, there's a good chance I'm going to do something to it before it gets to one of my galleries or whatever, you know. So, yeah, I try not to be precious about it if I can help it.
For those listeners who don't or aren't really familiar with your processes, can you give an example? Like, I remember a piece of yours that you used resin and it almost looked like the figure was encased in ice. Mm-hmm. You know, can you kind of talk about maybe a specific process?
Yeah, that actually was one of my favorite pieces. And it's funny because I just in the last 2 months, I did sketches in my sketchbook about how I would pursue that further. It was actually, because I spend a lot of time dealing with different types of epoxies or resins and learning about the two, and I've learned that, you know, they heat up differently and they do different things, but it sounds funny. Sometimes I feel like, you know, if the work, I can add more interest to it by taking it to the next level. So that was, I think that's the piece that was encased in the block, that slave saint. So the original, or the slave piece, it was a, if that's the one I'm thinking of, or was it the female pointing?
I think it was the female.
Okay. So that is actually the fifth in the series of a thing I did called The Guardians, where I first showed them at your gallery. The males all, you know, the four males that were on big pillars, and all that stuff was recycled. Well, with this female piece, I wanted a fifth and I wanted it to be a female. And so I cast it in resin. I cast her in a resin. And then I created this half moon form and I cast that in epoxy over the top of her. The whole thing is it was super heavy and it was a ton of work. And when I got it out, you have to sand it down. You have to polish it. Then you're like, oh, there's cracks inside of it. And it ends up being part of the work. But I'm probably not, I don't know if I'm answering your question or not, but that was, I think what happens is I feel like if the piece doesn't feel done to me, you know, if it lacks some energy or some interest, then I always try to take it further with a secondary treatment. In that situation, that radius that went around her almost looked like a sunrise behind her, you know, and I think that was my thinking for it, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, and that's a piece called The Powerful Hermanus, you know, out of a series I did called The Powerful Hermanus, with, you know, Powerful Sisters, which I ended up titling after my wife and her sister. And that particular one was a one-off cast. Actually, I sold that locally, but she was the only female in that series of guardians. The four guardians, I had four male guardians that all looked the same, similar. And then I had one female. So, yeah. Well,
and you talking about selling kind of being that final stage, mm-hmm. like I'm always fascinated about the business of art. Mm-hmm. And the business side of things, because I think it's something that a lot of people don't think about. But, you know, it's a lot of work and time and money that you sink into pieces before you sell them.
painters do much better than sculptors, I would think. You know, my gallerist in Florida or the one in Chicago, they each get 50%. There are times I'm like, me getting 50% out of it covers my costs, I guess, because I also have a studio assistant. And so, you know, it is what it is.
Sure.
And what happens is you can sell a lot of work, and I've sold a lot of work. I've been very blessed that way. But my gallerist in Chicago, he had a good point. He goes, at this point, you're just building pedigree, you know, and you can you steadily increase your prices. You make more. The one thing that sculpture has generally that 2D doesn't is the ability to cast series.
Sure.
You know, now when I do series, I do small number series, you know, which is funny because for a lot of really famous artists like Richard McDonald or someone like that, his small number series are like 800. I'm like, what the 800? I'm doing 12. You know what right. I mean? Because I wanted to have some value, you know, 800 to me is a figurine from Hobby Lobby, which is fine.
Right.
The work's beautiful and it would be accessible to everyone. I'm not bothered by that. I'm more just, I laugh at what a limited series run is, you know, but as a sculptor, it does allow me to kind of offset the individualized cost of making a sculpture versus making a painting. You know, now the irony is sculpture is also easier for me. So I'm not you know, crapping on painters. I'm more saying, you know, that they're a one and done, but their cost of input versus return is drastically different than a one-off sculpture, let's say.
Sure.
Potentially. But as your pedigree goes up, then you just charge more.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, and you've talked a couple times about the galleries you're in. Maybe we should just kind of fill in with some basic bio stuff of where your work is, where you're from.
Yeah. Well, I live in Riverdale now, but lived in Davenport almost since my wife and I moved back here from Colorado like 28 years ago. And but we just recently built over in Riverdale, and Dawn's been there. And it was funny because it was nice. It tied us to this area because I've been looking for a place to have a studio forever at my house. We never had the room or anything. And so I have a separate studio that I work in. And, but I've always felt a little bit disconnected from, you know, I didn't know if we were staying here in the Quad Cities or anything like this. And I told my wife with this house, I'm like, I'm building my coffin. So this is where my studio is going to be. We're not leaving. This is where we're at. And so I decided, cause in all fairness, you know, Dawn, she does a lot of great things here. I've been fairly disconnected from the local art scene. This is the first thing I'm really doing, kind of coming back. I'm trying to be better about getting more involved locally. It's hard. Most of my work sells elsewhere. And sure. So I have a gallery in Chicago, Victor Armendariz. And he was a guy that I met years ago. He was under a lady named Ann Nathan. Ann Nathan Gallery was up there. And she was a powerhouse in Chicago. And then when she retired, he took 30 of her top artists and then moved over. And then it was nice because he came down to Iowa. We talked once. And he came down to Iowa, went through my studio and everything else, and then signed me for his opening. Now he has other artists in there now. The irony is, I went to a show in Grand Rapids and that Dawn told me about called Art Prize. Did fairly well. Well, it was because of that show that Victor even kind of noticed me, and it was because of Steve Banks. He, you know, Victor was like, Steve actually told him he just got done doing Art Prize. It went pretty well. And he's like, oh, can I see your work? And Steve's like, actually, we just came back from a show that he was in and we've got it in the car, you know? And I'm like, all right. So I showed him the work and I'm like, I'm trying not to bug him because I'm feeling galleries out. I came to art probably later in life than most people. And so from a business standpoint, I tend to be kind of guarded. I don't want to just be in every gallery I can get in or anything, because a lot of sure. stuff's just not going to represent what I do very well. And I also want to see how the gallery comes across as to whether or not they're friendly. Do they talk to young people? Do they, you know, and a lot of the galleries, it's a big white box. You walk in and someone's behind a high desk and they're like, just tell me if you need anything. And that's not Victor. He's very personable and he's lovely. But so Steve was the one that kind of pushed me. I showed him my work and that was kind of the, you know, it went from there, and it's gone great up in Chicago. I've gone through a couple other galleries in different cities with varying results. And right now there's another gallery I'm working with, down in Palm Beach in Florida, Stidell, and he's a really nice guy, but I don't do as much with him because shipping is clunky.
Sure.
You know? And it costs a lot to ship back and forth. And so right now I'm just going to work on building, you know, my body of work for the direction I'm getting ready to go. Yeah. So that's all.
What is, like, say you, like, thinking about some of your larger pieces, if you have a, you know, kind of closer to full size, because I know you've got some larger pieces, like, what does it even cost to ship that?
So I've never shipped anything like that. Those bigger pieces I've actually taken myself to the events, to different events we've done. That is awesome because I carried on an open trailer and I've got this big, ginormous sculpture riding on the back of the open trailer.
That's so cool.
And it's a gag. The amount of people that follow me, honk, pull me over. I've had cops follow me into gas stations to get pictures with the work. And it is awesome. A gag. I had a bus of people that were going, I feel like they were going to like Six Flags or something like that. And they pulled in behind me and, you know, and they were taking pictures with me and they're like, we're going to post this. And I'm like, whatever, you know, but it is fun to do that. I will say, yeah. You know, my passion, my real passion beyond sculpture is I love large scale. I love large scale public art, you know, but it's a little bit to break into it. And it's sure. Also, what I do is pretty specific. If I was an abstract, non-objective artist, there's a lot more opportunities for me, you know, but right. I'm just not good at that kind of work. So I focus on what I focus on. And right now I'll just stick with it, you know?
Yeah. It's one of my favorite things that we do is the public sculpture program that Dawn curates. And it's just great to drive through a community and see those pieces, whether they're abstract or literal or quirky.
Yeah.
You know, I saw one the other day of like a fork in a pile of spaghetti that's somewhere in Nebraska or something.
Right.
But right. Like that stuff's just, it adds to the character of our communities and
right.
Is what really makes it great. You have a show in Las Vegas.
I did.
Or
have.
You just
yep.
Did.
I just got back.
Tell us about that. And, what work did you have out there?
I took a ton of work. It was, literally it was almost kind of a retrospective of work. There's an event called Freedom Fest, and it was at Caesars. I think it was at Caesars Forum or something like that. And it was a really nice venue. They gave me a really large space. And I'm not sure if it's going to pan out. I talked to four people that seemed to be pretty interested, but I didn't sell anything. And which is fine. As a business person, I don't love that as much. You know, like a lot of artists are like, well, you got this opportunity. And I'm like, yeah, well, okay.
Sure.
But I wanted to pay too, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I like going to events that I sell. So what it does actually, though, is the last year I went and did the show. And then I did art specific. Last year, their theme was Frederick Douglass. And I did a painting of Frederick Douglass for them. Well, that motivated them to give me a much bigger venue this time. And they did, it was great. And their theme this year was Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. So I did a collaborative painting, or I did just the drawing. And it was funny because we were supposed to do kind of a, you know, a paint by number type thing. So I did this big, huge 6-foot by 4-foot canvas or 5-foot and did the drawing of what my interpretation of Brave New World would be. And then I made a key of where I thought the colors would be. Yeah, no one cared. They did everything they wanted, and it is crazy looking, and it's actually awesome. I just didn't have vision for that, you know, but the people that were at this event, they would swing by and they're like, oh, you know, we've got another half hour till lunch, we're gonna paint. And I'm like, do it, you know? And it is a wild looking painting. You know, and at first my OCD's like, the letters all need to match. I put their letters as being red and you've got green and yellow and that's not red, you know, but as it got deeper into it, it worked out. So that was the event I'm doing. And so next year they're inviting me back to Palm Springs, and that's going to be a pretty unique event that I'm excited about. So even if I don't sell, last year I sold, did a lot better, but this year I did not. And that's okay. Again, it's building that relationship with these people who have access to people that have the funds to buy as well.
Yeah. So, and like you said, building those relationships, getting to know those buyers, and you know, it's when I was in the acting world, it's like, you're not going to get cast every time.
That's right.
Build the relationship with the casting director.
That's right. And the price
for
point at what
down the road.
Well, and the price point at what I'm trying to sell, it's not always a quick sale, you know?
Right.
And, my mom's always like, well, if you made stuff cheaper, I'm like, nah, I make what I want to make. And this is what I think it's worth, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And don't sell it short.
Yeah. You
know? You did a series on homeless people at one point. I don't know if I'm curious to know if you're continuing that or if you can talk about what, inspired you to do that.
So initially, I did the first painting from Grand Rapids. It was the second time I was there, I think, and I was exhibiting out in front of the Gerald Ford Museum, and they have a lot of homeless people in that park out in front of it. And one of the guys, I would always take snacks and stuff when I was there. And I got to, you know, I would talk to him and I would have candy bars and things like that. And one of the guys came by, he just had a great look. That's a lot of my paintings. I'm just inspired by what this person looks like, you know? And, he came by, we got to talking, he was from Jamaica and he was kind of telling me his story. And so I was like, well, let me take your picture, you know? And I gave him $20 and took his picture and he thought that was awesome. And, what was funny is like the next day I had like three guys that came back, you know, and wanted me to take their picture. And I'm like, I'm not inspired, you know? And I did that painting of him. Now the interesting thing about these pieces, a couple things, the next year I went back, did the same thing. And then the third guy that I painted in that series, he's local. And a girl that used to work in our office, he would always come and bring her gifts. She had talked to him one day and he really liked her and he had some challenges. And so he would bring her a bear or something like that, you know. And one day I was out there and I was like, I'm gonna take your picture, you know, and did the same thing. And I would always just try to keep $20 on me. And if I was like, hey, would you let me take three pictures for $20? They're pretty open to it. What I've done with that series, and I haven't gone further with it, I was actually going to do Art Prize with it this year. And I just decided I couldn't get the venue I wanted. And I told myself and my daughter, she's my agent. I told her, I go, I'm not applying anywhere else. If I don't get this venue, then I'm going to call it not meant to be because I have a lot of other things going on. But I will eventually go there to finish it. With this, I call it No Quarter is the series. And the titles of the work are pseudonyms. They're not their actual name. The first one that was of the black guy, that's Carl. I call him Carl. But I have their real name and I have a brief story that they told me. And I capture all that. And eventually when I go to sell this work, I'll share that with the buyer, you know, and they'll have that specific to them. If they don't want to share it, they don't have to. But my thinking was, is it's kind of an intimate thing for this situation. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to use pseudonyms to title the work. And then I'm going to, you know, and then, like I said, I'll share the actual information on the model with the buyer, but I just haven't gone farther with it.
Okay.
And it was nothing, there's no, nothing fancier than the fact that he just had an awesome look with his hair and everything else, you know? And, the one painting I did of that young kid with the gold bandana, that big painting of that black guy with the dreadlocks, that is Clyde Mayfield's son that used to own Greatest Grains. Okay. And I knew Clyde from wrestling. I was a coach and he would always come there. But his son, I didn't know him from any of that. One day I'm just coming out of my office downtown on Harrison on the bottom of the hill. And some kid goes by like 35 on a skateboard. And I went out and started yelling at him because I'm thinking of my kids. I'm like, hey, you knucklehead, like you're going to kill yourself. You know, we start laughing. We get to talking. Well, then I find out he's a friend of my kids because we had homeschooled and they had just gotten started kind of at that school. And then while he was there, I was like, hey, let me take your picture. That was it. You know, I was like, you look awesome. You know, I'm going to get your picture. And that was so really nothing crazier than that. Other than the irony is when I finished the piece and I took it to show him up there at Greatest Grains, he was working there at the time. He had a broken arm. And he's like, I don't want to talk about it. And I'm like, right? You know, and
it's
so.
The skateboard.
I might have jinxed him. But I, you know, when they go burning by my office at 35 coming down that hill, one rock, I assume take him out, you know, but he had broken his arm so or wrist or something. So, yeah.
I just want to say to me as a viewer, I love the homeless series because I think that a lot of people want to be seen. They want to be acknowledged. I noticed that a lot during COVID, like, you know, we're all locked up for so long and then you see somebody and you're like, ah, it's so good to see you, like literally to see this other person. And I think that you are you're kind of documenting them. Mm-hmm. You're not only you're seeing them and you're letting other people see them. Mm-hmm. And I feel that that's really an important thing that you're doing.
I agree. I would like to have more of an altruistic approach to it, but I don't really, you know, I mean, I want to be honest about it. Cause I mean, I kind of go by, you know, the young man that used to walk downtown Davenport and the amount of times that I wanted to, and he passed away in the last year and he used to wear the hard hat. Oh. And I was like, oh, and I just never had cash on me because I wanted to get his, you know, because I would see him at a restaurant we would go to or whatever, and I wanted to talk to him and give him 20. Like, I don't want to just take someone's picture. That seems odd to me. I feel like I should compensate them. And I just never had it on me. Even Steve, I would ask him, you know, and he's like, I don't have, I'm like, you got 20 bucks. Let's go talk to him. I'll get his photo, you know. And other times my camera's not working on my phone. There was just all these reasons. And then he passes away and I'm like, damn it. I should have gotten his picture, you know? So, and that's the seeing part that I think you're talking about, that this guy was almost an icon and he was friendly as anything, you know, as we talked to him, but he just, he was there. It seemed like he was always there. You know, and then he wasn't, and I didn't take that opportunity to capture that, you know. So maybe that aspect, I do get it. I do understand it. That wasn't my original motivation, I guess. But yeah, I love that idea.
Well, there are so many interesting people in the world. I know I'm always curious. There are people, and homeless and not homeless people in downtown Rock Island, where I'm just, I see them and I'm like, I want to know your story. But, you know, I never have the guts to walk up and just be like, hey, who are you? You look interesting. I want to know about you.
Right, right. I understand that. And for certain people, it's harder to approach. Even when it's not that type of situation, it's harder to get male models than it is female. I can get females to model all the time. Getting a man to model, you know, if you're at the gym or you're somewhere, you know, and you're like, hey, I'm a sculptor and I'd like to talk. It comes off odd at first and they're like, I'm not sure about that. And I'm like, it's fine. You know what I mean? But
sure.
Then you start showing them your work that you're serious or whatever. And it's okay. You know what I mean? And so for whatever reason, you know, and I've, I'm trying to think. I mean, I've really only approached four different homeless gentlemen and one lady wouldn't let me take her picture. And the other guy, turns out that that's when I realized my camera wasn't working on my phone. Like the certain range that I needed wouldn't work. But the lady that I talked to had no interest. She's like, no, I don't want to do that. I was like, yeah. Oh, it's fair. You know, no problem. And I was in Grand Rapids at the time with that as well. I actually took a print back the next year after I painted Carl. And the guys that were there, some of the guys that were, I kind of recognized as being, you know, familiar, they said that he had passed away. Now, I don't know if that's right, but I mean, that was what they felt. You know, they believed that he had passed away.
Sure.
I was like, ugh, you know, so.
Well, and there's that line. And like, I think about, you know, the famous photo of the vulture with the starving Ethiopian boy. Like, there's been a lot of discuss about that, that photo of whether that was exploitative or why didn't anyone stop in. And I think when you're documenting things like that, that, that is a question to ask, but I mean, you seem to come at it from a very, with a very good heart. And, you know, that's refreshing to see because I think there are artists who try to exploit disaster or someone else's trauma or pain for gain. And, you know, I think with the way you do this, it's really, you know, it's, there's a beauty to it in a way of, like you said, making them being seen.
Yeah. I don't really have an agenda beyond that probably.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, what do you have coming up next? Obviously you're going to be at the Quad Cities International Airport through October 29th, 28th. But, you were mentioning before, like, what are you interested in exploring next?
So, to be honest with you, I have one commission left that I have to finish, and unfortunately, it's a painting. Once I have that off my easel, then the world's kind of open to me. I've got a little bit that I have to deliver to one of my galleries, but the direction I'm looking to go, I did a series called Ghostings, and they were a study of, similar to what Dawn asked about before, a mix of a figuration and resins, you know, around this figuration in some format. And I loved them. And I plan on pursuing that pretty heavily. And I'm also, right now, I'm coordinating with and doing a lot of fighters, a lot of professional fighters, both sculptures and paintings of these fighters. And I'm working on Pat Miletich right now. I'm hoping to do some The nice part is that I have access to a lot of older famous fighters, world champion fighters. And then eventually I think that will bleed into the more contemporary fighters. And I've had fighters that have seen stuff that I've done online that have reached out to me personally. You know, I know this sounds bad, but some of these guys, I don't know them and I wasn't motivated, you know, and I know this sound, I mean, again, the potential to sell or have that exposure from someone who has won a world record or anything like that. Oftentimes that's a better use of my time than someone who's just a local, you know, journeyman. And nothing wrong with that, but it's like, I'm only going to get so many sculptures done before, you know, my time's gone. And so I want to focus on things that have a, you know, have a better ROI for me. So my goal is, I have sent, one of my busts of Jason to both Joe Rogan and Dana White. Dana White is the president of UFC. Mm-hmm. Joe Rogan, obviously. And I've met both of them, but it was so brief. It wasn't anything they would remember when I was cornering for someone or whatever. And, and I'm going to continue to do that. Cause with the resins, I can still sell those for, you know, a decent amount, but they're also accessible enough to me to make some and send them. If I did a bronze, I'm like, well, I'm not giving away a $20,000 head, you know, to billionaires or whatever, right. But I call it art bombing. And, the guy who started, FUBU, Damon John.
Yeah.
I listened to him one time. I went to a seminar that he did and I read his book and he is awesome. And he did a thing. He called it, I don't remember what he called it, but basically he was constantly, blowing up his brand back in Philly, I believe it was, to the radio stations, like the hip hop radio stations. And he's like, I just kept photo bombing them, boom, 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 or fax bombing them. I think he was literally sending them faxes of this stuff. And so afterwards it hit me and my daughter and I have come up with a thing where she is great at getting access to people. So she has gotten access to both Dana and Joe's assistants. And I'm going to continue to send them a casting of every fighter I do. Jason was a well-known fighter, but he didn't win any titles in the UFC. Pat was a 7-time world champion. He's the one I'm working on right now. When I'm done, out of that casting series, two of them, one will go to Dana, one will go to Joe. And I will continue to do that until they tell me to piss off or they say, what is it you want? And I'm going to be like, I want to be the artist for the UFC. There are in-house artists for like NBA and Major League Baseball and all this other stuff. And I'm like, they're going to want someone for the UFC and it might as well be me, someone that's passionate about the sport and has a history with it. I'm like, well, yeah, might as well be me, you know? And so I'm going to continue to do that. And I think my daughter, she is trying to see about getting me into Vegas next summer for UFC Fight Week. And so if we can get a booth there, and then I will go and take a lot of this fighter artwork. If I can't get a booth, I thought, you know what? I'll take a van and I'll put graphics on the outside of it and I'll show up and just, you know, crowd them really bad so that people can kind of see what's going on. I'm right. going to get in front of them somehow. I'm going to art bomb the crap out of them until I get in there, you know, so they'll either tell me to quit sending me artwork, you know, or they're going to want to talk. You know, yeah. So that's my plan is I'm going to pursue these ghostings, which are more of a classical and contemporary approach just to the figure, and then continue to pursue fighters, both paintings and sculptures.
That's awesome.
So no shows coming up right now, which is, that's nice for me.
You know, then you get to focus on the work.
And I'm not big on commissions, and shows sometimes are a struggle for me because then I feel like I'm doing something someone else wants, you know. And this show actually came about at the airport. I don't even remember how it happened. You had a void or something, or you had an opening, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's always more two-dimensional artists than there are sculptors. So we'd love to have sculpture at the airport. Just rounds out the exhibit, gives it a better feel. And we had an opening, and it was a figurative show, and you had work, and so we just.
Yeah.
Made it work.
I don't remember who contacted who, but it was funny because I don't even think I had applied. She had an opening or whatever. And we had been talking. I don't remember what it was, but You know, and the nice part was, is generally four of the pieces were already done. So, you know, they were recently completed. So I've only been working on one piece for the show. So it's been pretty accessible with other things I have going on. But yeah, I just don't like having anything loom over me, you know? So it's one of those situations where if I can just work without an end product or an end result or goal in mind, then I can be more creative, I feel like.
Well, I cannot wait to see what you have out at the airport. And for those who haven't been out to the airport, I just have to pitch that airport gallery because, Dawn, you've done such incredible work out there curating the work all throughout. And, you know, I think a lot of people forget about it, but it's really a lovely little gallery.
It really is. It's a beautiful gallery. The lighting is great. It's been there 20 years now, which is kind of amazing. I started out there not right at the beginning, but soon after. And the work is such quality. And one thing that we love is that the artists we're showing are local and regional. We don't have to go to California and New York City to get good quality art. We've got quality artists right here in our community. And that I love to say that. When people come up to me at the airport when I'm working and they want to know where these artists are from, and I can say they live in Bettendorf or they live in Rock Island. They live, you know, right around here. It's somehow amazing to people, like, really, we have this kind of talent here? Of course we do. So I love that we're showcasing our people.
Yeah, and it really is incredible, the depth of talent we have here in the area. So, Dean, thank you so much for joining us today and being our guest on Talking Art. Thanks again to Quad City Bank and Trust for supporting Talking Art. And for more information on Dean, you can visit his website, www.deankugler.com, or his Instagram page at Dean Kugler. Dean, thank you so much. He also designs houses. You can check those out at Redbox Design. Such a talented guest. Thank you. Thank you, Dawn, for joining me as a co-host today. And thanks so much for talking art with us.